good to have Gail Tyson back with us. Lord bless you, Gail. Prayed many a prayer on your behalf. There's been a lot of discussion of late coming from the Vatican, Pope Francis, speaking of what we need to do with our resources, what is appropriate, what is socialism the way to go? Is capitalism the way to go? And I think, there can be some confusion. And I think some things are taken out of context. I think some things are said and people draw maybe wrong conclusions. But really, I think when we consider the aspect of money, which is such a consuming part of our lives, if we don't get money right, we don't get anything right. I mean, we need to know how to reverence the Lord, even especially through our resources. And so I want to speak this morning on the subject, honoring the Lord with our money. And those of you that are regulars, I don't pound the pulpit on this one. I'm not someone that's always beating the money drum. And so I really believe you ask the Lord, you teach what God's Word says about money, but then you pray, and you ask the Lord to provide. And it's amazing how He does so, and through the means He does so. I know all the offering that was given last Sunday was not in the bulletin. I'm not sure how much extra came in, you all gave over $7,000 last week to the building fund. So may the Lord bless you for that. Again, all of that was not included in the total that you see in the bulletin. But anyway, I say that as well, that this is a giving church. One of the blessings of being a pastor of this church is the Lord uses you to minister to my needs, to the needs of our family. And I thank you for that. And may the Lord honor you. And so I'm in no way scolding you or trying to really put you on a guilt trip. What I'm simply trying to do through this message is helping us to have a biblical perspective of what God really gives to us. And so let me begin by saying one of the don'ts in dealing with money is don't be greedy. Having a greedy heart changes everything and not for the good regarding money. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Christ said, "Take heed and be aware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Oftentimes we look at people's lives, especially those who have money, who live in the big homes and drive the fancy sports cars and wear the designer clothes and eat at all the... They eat gourmet food and, they take these lavish vacations. And we think, boy, that's life. That's where it's at. Ladies and gentlemen, God says that's not where life is at. Our life does not consist of what we own or what we have, what is in the bank. Our life consists of our relationship with the living God, with the Lord Jesus. Money doesn't give us life. It might give us experiences, but only God, only Christ gives us life. And so if we can understand that going into this study this morning, how helpful that will be. We see from scriptural examples the desire for wealth, the pursuit of riches, can really be a deadly game. Remember Gehazi, Elisha's servant, was struck with leprosy because he had to have a monetary reward. We see that story in 2 Kings chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, we all have heard of them, lied or died because they lied about money. Think about that. They died because they lied about money. The rich young ruler couldn't enter the kingdom of God because he wasn't willing to give away his wealth to follow Christ. And Paul warned Timothy that those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Find that verse in 1 Timothy 6:9. And so how careful we need to be when it comes to our attitude toward money. And it can be a deadly game if we don't play it right. And so we are not to love money. It's the root. Money is at the root of all evil. It's loving money. We are not to serve money. We are not to hoard money. We are not to trust in our money. We are not to oppress people to gain money. We are not to steal money. We are not to worry about money. Matthew 6:34 says, "Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I truly believe when we rightly fear the Lord, when we honor the Lord, when we reverence Him, when we give Him the holy awe that is rightfully His, we will honor Him with our resources. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we honor this God we reverence, we fear, with our resources? And so, this morning I want us to study this matter under really two simple points. And the first point is reasons we gain wealth. And point number two is reasons we are to give away our wealth. Reasons we gain wealth and reasons we give away our wealth. Do you know that there's a law called the law of sowing and reaping? And the more you sow, the more you what? The more you reap. Do you know the truth of the matter is the more you give, the more you have? It's the law of sowing and reaping. And so reasons why we are to give away our wealth is point number two. Well, let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to study your word. Lord, that we don't have to take what a man says, maybe even a religious man, but we can see for ourselves what your word says, what you say about what we are to do, what type of stewardship we are to exercise regarding our resources, the wealth that you do give to us. And Lord, we are wealthy people, all of us, comparatively speaking with really the majority of the rest of the world. We are wealthy, and sometimes I think we fail to see and understand that. One only has to travel around the world to see what true poverty is, abject poverty. And Lord, I know you have blessed us beyond measure. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for a nation that has allowed us to use the skills that we have, that you have given to us, to be good stewards of what you enable or entrust to us. And Lord, help us. Help us to get it right as far as understanding a proper stewardship of our money. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three reasons why we gain wealth. Three reasons. And reason number one is God gives us wealth. Our resources ultimately come from His generous hand. Now, if you don't understand that, you won't really understand, or you won't receive well the rest of what I'll say this morning. We need to understand, first and foremost, that everything we have is ultimately because of God's hand of blessing on us. That car you drive, or those cars you drive, that home you live in, those clothes you wear, that food that I know you enjoyed this morning for our brunch, all have come from God. I mean, it's His blessings on us. Proverbs 10:22 states, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich." James 1:17 tells us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." Christ said in Matthew 7, verse 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" Deuteronomy 16:15, "For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and all the work of your hands." One thing I want upon my life is God's blessings. I want to live in such a way that God is blessing me, that God is blessing my family, our children, because true blessings ultimately come from Him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are to be blessed, those blessings come from God. And so you need to make sure you have a right relationship with the God from whom all blessings flow. And so, first and foremost, all prosperity, all true wealth comes from God. Let us understand, let us recognize that even those Christmas presents that we enjoyed opening came from God. His blessings upon us. A second reason we gain wealth is through honesty and integrity. Honesty and integrity in our work is a second reason we gain wealth. The point is, God honors people who have integrity. Which makes the point, God cares not only about what we get, but how we get it. Gaining, securing material prosperity in a way that is not honest and lacks integrity means it is not from God's hand, and anything not from His hand is not blessed. In fact, it is cursed. What you have in your pocketbook, what you have in your bank, you want it to be something that God blesses. And how many people somehow think that that the end justifies the means? It never does. Ruining our name, our reputation, and pursuit of riches. Do you ever watch those programs on all these greedy people? You know, sooner or later, it always catches up with you, doesn't it? But ruining our name, our reputation, and pursuit of riches means we have lost something even more valuable. In fact, a good name is worth more than great riches. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Ladies and gentlemen, it means more. You are richer if you have a good name than if you have millions and millions of dollars in the bank and have a bad reputation. Sometimes the Lord just says, don't say anything. That will not help your reputation. Don't go there. Don't do that. There are It's better to have, Proverbs 16:8, it is better to have a little with righteousness than a lot with injustice. Proverbs 15:6, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Cheating someone in business in order to gain wealth is an abomination in God's sight. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Can I say this kindly? Get rich schemes such as gambling and the lottery are all violate God's financial principles. You say, well, I went to school on lottery money. Well, I'm not sure what to say. But it's not God's way, to be very frank with you. You know what the lottery is? It's a tax on the poor. You walk into these convenience stores, and it's the poor people that are putting down the $20. I think to myself, $20, that's a lot of money to me. Why gamble it away? How foolish can we be? You say, well, I've won some money on the lottery. Well, I don't believe that's money God blesses. What you want in your pocketbook is money that God blesses, something that you have earned with honesty and integrity. So again, we gain wealth from God's hand. And then from honesty and integrity in our life's work. And then a third way we gain wealth is by hard work and diligence. God honors hard work. Listen to Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. It has been rightly said the reason there are not more Proverbs dealing with hard work is because there are so many verses dealing with the opposite, which is slothfulness, laziness, the sluggard. Proverbs 10:4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Young people, do you want to know how to be successful in life? Work hard, be honest, and serve the living God. That's how you'll become a success. Work hard. Be honest. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Don't cheat even on your taxes. You say, well, I got away with it. God sees. God does not take kindly to the sluggard. You might find this kind of funny, but I've said it more than one time. If I were out of work, I would get my rake. I'm 60 years of age. I'd get my rake. I'd get my lawnmower, my blower. And you know what I'd do? I'd go up and down the street looking for work. That's what I do. Whatever happened to a biblical work ethic? But how often I've heard people say, well, I'm not taking that job because it doesn't pay enough. Or it's below my skill level. Or it's beneath me. I say, whatever happened to the thinking I'm going to work because that's the honorable thing to do? Work. Hard work is honorable. I believe the biblical way is you work the job you have until something better comes along. Let me say, when we work hard, when we work diligently, God honors that effort and He will exalt us in due time. How many people, you read their biographies and they become CEOs of companies and become just wealthy more than I could even imagine. You know where they often started out? In the mailroom. Or pushing a broom. Cleaning commodes. They started out at the bottom. We have a young, we have a mindset today is I've got to start out where dad and mom took 30 years to get to. What planet do you live on? That's crazy thinking. That's not even rational thinking. And we have to have it all right now. You know, there's no delayed gratification. We have to have it right now, and we will borrow to the hilt to make sure we have it. How sad. Let me say, when we work hard, when we work diligently, God honors that effort. Prosperity awaits those who are willing to work hard today. You don't wait on your on the government. You don't wait on your check from the government. You get out and you work. We have, you know, we have what we call a workfare program here at Westside. We have people calling the church all the time asking for help. And you know, I know that many times it's legitimate. I know that there are times it's not. I know there are a lot of hurting people out there. And I am not in any way trying to be unsympathetic. But ladies and gentlemen, when I mention that dirty word, W-O-R-K, so many people aren't interested. I tell them, you know, we pay $8 an hour for regular work, cleaning windows, picking up pine cones. We paid people a penny a pine cone. You know, if you work hard, you can make some good money. Lots of pine cones out there. Amen? I wish when I was a kid someone offered me a penny a pine cone. But you know, when you mention the word work, oh, they aren't interested. What are you supposed to do? And so we have seen thus far in this message three reasons why we gain wealth. Prosperity comes from God's hand. By the way, you want to be on his page because ultimately prosperity comes from him. Secondly, prosperity comes from honesty and integrity. Thirdly, prosperity comes from diligence and hard work. You say, well, I know people who haven't been real honest, and I know people who haven't been real diligent, and I know people who don't love God at all, and they're rich. One day, what they call rich will be forever gone. Do you know what's ultimately rich is when you have it forever. When you have it for an eternity. Oh, there might be people that have it now, so to speak, but the world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Secondly, reasons why we are to give away our wealth. In other words, why we are to have a generous heart. And reason number one is giving is a privilege. Whether we have been blessed with little or much, giving is a means of being a blessing to others. And what a privilege to be a blessing to others. As God blesses us, we can in turn be a blessing. And what a privilege. You know, it's God's way to be a blessing. I believe God blesses us when we live our lives in such a way that it's not about our lives, but it's about being a blessing to others. We live for Christ, and as we live for Him, we give. If you want to understand the heart of God, it is spelled in two words, love and give. That's the heart of God. He loves, and so He gives. And so, what a privilege to be like Him. Can I say this kindly? If you aren't a giver, you aren't like God. You really aren't following Him. Giving is a privilege. Listen to a few verses of Scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit, or Paul is speaking, we're informing you of the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. These poor churches were willing to give out of their poverty, and how God blessed. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And that simply means let him be generous. Now, if you don't believe being a channel of God's blessing to others is a privilege, it's not an obligation, but it's a privilege, you won't ever be a true giver. You got to get that one right. It's not an obligation. It's not a duty. It's not even a responsibility? I guess so. But it has to go over into the category of this is my delight. This is pleasure. This is a privilege to be a giver. Why give? Secondly, a loving heart gives. Missionary Amy Carmichael has said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And God has generously given to us out of His great love. Amen. We read these verses earlier, over in 1 John chapter 3, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. A loving heart gives. You say, well, I love, but I don't know if I just always like to give. No, a loving heart gives. Why give? Third reason, giving helps us trust God. It helps us trust Him. Stockpiling, hoarding money may be a sign we're trusting in our money rather than in God. So what giving does is it helps us focus our eyes back on God. We seek Him as our first priority, as our first and last security. And so doing, we trust Him to supply our needs. Now, this is not to say, and I mean this very sincerely, that we don't plan for the future, that we don't plan for our retirement, that we don't put away some acorns. But even then, our hope is in the Lord. We seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, knowing then that all these things will be added unto us. Why give? Number four, giving helps us to honor God. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. A passage from Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 15, highlights the concept of giving to the Lord from the first fruits of one's labor. And let me explain. As an act of recognition and gratitude for God's blessings in delivering Israel from Egyptian bondage, bringing them into the land of promise, Moses told the Israelites that they were to take a basket of the first of the produce from the fields, their fields, and set it before the Lord as an offering. By this act, they were saying, Lord, this is my way of honoring you for what you have done for me. And for us today, Egypt is a picture of slavery to sin from which we have been delivered, redeemed. And so if Israel could acknowledge their deliverance from physical slavery by bringing an offering to the Lord, our baskets of fruit declare a heart of thanksgiving for our redemption from sin. Isn't that beautiful? Number five, we give because it's an act of worship. Giving something so dear to our hearts declares, God, you are worth more. And so I give this gift as an act of worship. Lord, you are worthy. One theologian has said, rather than approach the question of giving by asking how much of my money should I give to God, we should rather ask how much of God's money should I keep for myself. And I add, how worthy is God in your eyes? Malachi 3:8, we're all familiar with these verses. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? We're in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me. Test me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hebrews 13:16 states, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Why give? Giving brings us freedom. When we release our grip on money, we break free from the grip that money can have on our lives. Giving helps us avoid the destructive path of greed. It cures us of having a materialistic heart that loves and serves money more than God. Again, Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Now let me give you some practical suggestions that I believe will help all of us honor God, reverence Him this coming year. Number one, ask God to help you depend on Him instead of money. Number two, remember that God is always faithful. Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You say, well, Pastor, you don't know I have all these obligations. You know, and I have this money coming in, and I have that all this money needing to go out. Honor the Lord. Trust Him. God is always faithful. You know what? I've never met someone who could not pay his bills that paid God first. I've really never met someone who was poor, who was faithful in his resources before God. I met some poor people, but I'll tell you, I don't ever know, I can't think of one person who was faithful to give who didn't faithfully pay his bills. Never have. Number three, ask God for wisdom in financial matters. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Ask God to supply your needs. I pray all the time, Lord, you know our needs. Number five, handle your resources honestly and responsibly. Number six, use your resources for good, godly purposes. Lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Number seven, be a generous person. I've told you this so often. You know, can I be real blunt? You can always tell a tight person, and you can always tell a generous person. I mean, there's just a spirit about a tight person. And there's a spirit about a generous person. And what a beautiful spirit a generous person possesses. I don't know, it's something divine. There's just something divinely beautiful about someone, a follower of Christ, who has a generous heart. Number eight, practice being content with what you have. Paul told Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And one more, be thankful for all God has already given you. Might we always be saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How good God, how generous God is to us. If I ask for a show of hands from this wonderful congregation of people, how many of you believe God is a generous God? How many of you believe God has been generous towards you? I believe every hand would go up. I mean, these are nice threads right here. And this is a really nice tie, man. Got it half price. I mean, I don't even have holes in my soles. I mean, I have shoes that keep my feet dry. That's big. You know, the cars that we drive might have a lot of miles on it. I've told people we don't drive cars at our home unless they have over 200,000 miles. Now, Anthony's car doesn't have that many, but the white car that you allow us to drive, you know, it has almost 290,000 miles. But you know what? It starts. It gets us where we want to go. The air conditioner even works. Wow. That Mustang that I drive, 200,000 miles. I mean, is it a beautiful ride? Maybe not, but it gets me where I want to go. I mean, how good God is to us. And you know what? And I'm almost done. Sometimes I think we're so blinded to God's goodness because we're so consumed about having things, desiring things, making sure we get things that we don't already, that we don't have. You know, we're always wanting more. We're always thinking, well, I need this and I need that. Well, be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you have. I want you to turn to Psalm 112, and I want to close with this psalm. I might preach through this psalm because it's so powerful. Psalm 112, beginning with verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 9. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. You know what I've just read? I've read a description of the man who fears the Lord. Did you get it? Did you see it? If you want to know how the man who fears the Lord lives, read Psalm 112. Ladies and gentlemen, I really do want God to bless you. I want God to honor you. I want 2014 to be a year that you can look back upon and say, God, you are a good God. Fear the Lord. Honor him with your resources. Father, I thank you so much that you love us. How good you are. How good you are to me, Lord. Giving me the privilege of ministering to this wonderful body of believers. How kind and generous they are toward us. Lord, the paychecks that they give to us that enable us to enjoy what we have. Thank you for their generosity. Lord, might we never fail to see that you are a generous God, and might we in turn be like you. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your provisions for 2013. Thank you for the wonderful Christmases that I would trust that you've given to each of us. Lord, we thank you. Above all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and the life, the eternal life that we have. Give us hearts, Lord, that walk in the fear of the Lord. Give us hearts that honor you with our resources.